principle that whatever we do, it must be directed towards where there is a use application. Build sensors or systems for that application delivery. Build spacecrafts, and then build rockets which can be used for launching them, and ultimately have all those technologies to do with the primary goal that it is reaching where it is required to reach. So if I go through what we have done so far in a single slide, we had almost 199 missions with the last launch that happened on 14th. With the rockets, three of them currently working. The number of satellites launched, the Indian as well as foreign satellites are there, the technology missions we conducted are there. And all of you know that there are almost 52 spacecrafts currently orbiting the Earth, which is made by ISRO and operational now in remote sensing, communication, navigation, science missions, all inclusive. So it's really a good fleet of spacecrafts currently being managed, operated by us. Now, going straight to what we want to do in the future. See, something really phenomenal thing has happened in the recent times in the space sector, and all of you know that we had an announcement by the government that space sector is getting reformed. And what exactly it means, and some of you may be aware, or some of you may not be aware in later detail, and there are always questions, what exactly does it mean, and how this is going to transform the space sector in this country in the future. So this is something which I would like to discuss in the coming few slides. Before I go into the structure of the reform, I would like to tell you that currently the business volume of space is just 15,000 crores, because it is government funded today. The entire money comes from government. We build the rocket, we build the spacecraft, we put the applications, and this money is going to industries for a certain amount of work, some goes for procurement, and some in the application side. Then if you really look at this whole sector, where is the money coming from? The players, like the business houses, where is the opportunity to run a business and then make a profit and which will sustain itself? This is a big question we wanted to ask to ourselves. If it really has to become something like 50,000 crore entity in the coming days, what we have to do? This is the bigger question. Can we continue by government funding? Can government really put up 50,000 crores in the coming days into this space sector? Can it really grow to that size? Maybe 50,000 is just an arbitrary number. It can be 1 lakh crores, it can be 2 lakh crores. It depends on where we are really heading to. Now, the whole thing comes out of the only purpose for which the space sector is created. Rockets are not just launched for some purpose. It is launched for delivering the spacecraft, which will ultimately do some service. It can be communication service, it can be remote sensing service, or it can be navigation service, and ultimately a combination of all of this into it. We will also do science missions, exploration missions, etc., etc., but they form a very small part of it. But then if this growth has to happen, then there is a market is required. There is a delivery side is required. There is an opportunity required. So, who are those people who are going to come in, and how we can enable them to do this work? This is the essence of the reform. So we look at it, what ISRO being the technology, knowledge center, knowledge place, and this technology is, is created over the years and is there with them. And it's very important that this is made available to those people who are interested to take on and then develop systems on their own. Who would like to build spacecraft? We must enable them to build it. Who want to build rockets? We must enable them to build it. And we must also find out applications where somebody wants to do services in this country through space sector. They must be allowed to do it so that there is a market developed. And then when the market is developing, the need will come, the applications will come, which will in turn create the needs for higher, more number of spacecrafts and more number of images. This is precisely the goal of this structural reform. And we want to create an in-space, which is going to be a promoting and authorizing agency, which will allow these things to happen. Space requires a lot of legal controls. Space assets need to be managed. The launches have to be authorized. The building of this has to be permitted. So this is why there is a regulation aspect coming in. There is another entity coming called NSIL, New Space India Limited, which will handle the business part of it, owning the space asset and make a profit out of it, to work on it. And this will also be operating competitively with other players in the field. So we look at the business, we look at how the launch vehicles are to be managed, whether it is to be managed by ISRO or to be an industry consortium, whether ISRO will continue to work on technologies or that also they are going to give away. There are questions of this nature being asked. So I want to tell you that the core of technology development cannot be concentrated only in ISRO. It should be allowed to happen outside. This is the premise on which the whole the reform has been created. Now look at the space industry. If you really look at who are really working in space industry in India, if I say they remain more or less suppliers of systems, sometimes a little bit of design is being done, they are contracting many things and manufacturing support is given, sometimes getting a little higher levels of integrating systems and supplying. But the overall task of building rockets, satellites or applications is still not come to the industry for. There are almost 500 industries working in various areas, in large, small and startups. So the primary objective of our today's space sector as the Secretary Department of Space is to invite all those great industries, specifically the homegrown industries, to come into space sector, to put their money and invest and then create an opportunity. This is my first call to all of you. Probably some of the text is not visible, so excuse me for that part. I will only not give a message that it's not important that you need to read everything. So the whole purpose of this is to see that we invite industries to come and then look at the possibility, what is there for you in business. And it is there for each one of them. It is there for the big industries to take on the ownership of some of this. So I will explain that part in the coming days. And therefore, smaller people, there is an opportunity to work on subsystems and become supplier for when many industries come together to build it. And I want to tell you, it is not possible for any single industry to own everything and then build the space system. It has to be by a collection of people with varieties of expertise to really build rocket systems or even spacecrafts. And possibly applications can be done by a single industry. So this is one change we would like to look at it in the coming days. Now, let me take three sectors which are very important for space. One is application. If you look at the entire economy, the circle which I put, the value of the money that is involved in this sector is very small for one vehicle, the blue part. The value of the money that is used for building satellite system is also very small. And the other domains, the navigation domain, the ground equipment, 23%, the communication data is totally around 50%. So the business is in this area. So first, people who are entering into this domain should understand that money is here. The current value of this process, business process, generates almost $440 billion. And it may change in the coming days. Now, if you really look at the share and the risk associated with the business, in the application business, the risk of failure is very small. And the technology complexity is actually less. The economy share is high, return of investment is high. So naturally, anybody who wants to get into this will look at application side as the most important domain that you need to enter. What exactly is this application domain? It involves working on data usages, data products delivery, the ground equipment supply, the infrastructure requirements for keeping the space activity going on. All of this comes under this sector. But this sector also has a lot of issues. Now, we are addressing some of these issues. If somebody wants to come into this and then make an impact on it, there are legal, funding, access to capital, all these issues are there, which I am not going to explain. Of course, it needs to be discussed on a case-to-case basis. Now, look at the next sector called the space infrastructure. We call it space infrastructure because it deals with what is finally put there in terms of spacecrafts, and the ground equipment that uses the data from spacecraft, the infrastructure used to operate the spacecraft, all inclusive is the space infrastructure. So there is one part is spacecraft building, and the second is spacecraft payloads. So these two are two different entities. The payloads is a high technology area, like an optical sensor you want to make, and a camera you want to build, or you want to build a transponder, a high throughput communication setup that you want to build. Something very not easily possible by industry, except very few. But building a spacecraft as a bus system and then using a bus available for building framework of our overall satellite could be easily possible in industry. So I have given a color coding in which over the years, the share of the spacecraft building will move away from ISRO or government-owned system to industry-owned system. And over at the end, that there will be spacecraft which will be actually engineered, designed, manufactured by industry within this country. And this is something that we want to. And I don't want that to happen by 2030, but much earlier than that. But a lot of initiatives are there. There are startups coming into this. They are slowly picking up the tasks of building and integrating spacecraft, currently working with the space sector. But the graduation has to happen. Still, there are element systems in the spacecraft still not controlled or owned by industry. They have still not had the total grip of it. They have a large amount of understanding of it, but then need to be handled by industry themselves. So this is one goal. Second is on the payloads. On the payload side, currently the development takes place only at very specific centers within this ISRO system, BOI system. But here is the crux of it. Unless you have a good payload which can meet the competitors in the market, the satellite will have no users. Say, for example, the imaging. If you have a high-resolution imaging in a certain amount of spectrum, then you have a specific user going to be there. But if you buy a conventional optical system, that images are plenty here. If you give a communication setup which doesn't guarantee you the new age communication bandwidth, then it has no takers. So that satellite will have no use to happen. So really the work is going to be in the high end of the payloads. And you can always integrate into a satellite and then launch at a point of time. So this is something that we need to find out and how to, sometimes you need to bring in foreign support from this. They can collaborate with them and bring that technology to India and then start building them in India. This is something we have to do. But if you look at the business nature of the business, the cost of failure is very high here. So you invest in a satellite, the launch failure or an operational failure in orbit, your money is gone. And similarly, the technology complexity is very, very high. But then the economic share is decent, reasonable, and return on investment is also reasonable. It's a good one. So these two things have to be factored while anybody would like to work on it. So I would like to tell you the strategy today for us is to enable this to happen. So especially support the industry to handle the technology development like sensor development, payload development, and also to allow them to build their own bus systems. Possibly initially they are going to start by handing over some of the satellite buses we have to them as a technology. So they generate the capability internally, possibly you can collaborate with others and then create that capability within India. Some of the industries are ready to take up today itself. So it's really heartening to see this. So this is a transformation I would like to see in the 2030 time. Now comes the launch vehicle. We call it space transportation system. A lot of rockets are put. Don't worry about the picture, the clutter of a lot of rockets there. Now, I had a plan to explain, but tomorrow, today time is very short. The essence of this is, now let me look at the business again. The space business in this sector, space rocket building, risk of failure is very, very high. If you develop a new rocket, to reach it to the first time success and then get it operation is really, really risky. Anybody who gets into this will understand that. And even those successful players who are there in the world arena, in private, they will tell you the story of their failures and how they work out of it very, very narrowly. And the complexity of technology is also very high. And the economy of share, as I already shown, is very small. The profitability is very, very small. But it has an importance with regard to the name and the fame associated with the rocket is very high. It will not be that much high in application. So if you develop a beautiful application, make a lot of money about it, nobody will write to you about you as Elon Musk is being written, no? So this is the glamour that is associated with the rocket, but the risk is very, very high. But then if you look at the rocket side, of course we look at rocket technology need to be accessible within the private entity as well. That means whoever is willing to develop rockets and propulsion systems in this country must be allowed to do. Of course, there are many startups, at least three startups I know, who are working very seriously on it. And they have developed their engine, they have developed their systems. And it is our endeavor to support them to ensure that they become successful. But they are developing small rockets. They are not developing big ones. But they have a roadmap of their own to develop huge market. There are also possibilities that the rockets which are available elsewhere, in outside the country, can be brought to this country and then manufactured here and launched. The new plan or new policy of opening up the space sector allows this also to be done. So it opens up a new opportunity. It creates business and industry growth in this country, developing, manufacturing rocket systems. Only if it is manufactured in this country that this licensing process may happen. You cannot simply procure and launch it from Indian soil. But now coming to Indian space research organizations, our plan is
to minimize operational launch vehicle role that we play today, buildings, PSLVs, GSLVs, GSLV Madri, reduce the task assigned to ISRO and move it towards industry. This is the first task. Second is, we concentrate only on futuristic development for rockets. Of course, there will be nobody who will be willing to develop and invest so huge. For example, a reusable rocket you want to develop in a big scale. The investment will not come that easily in the private sector. So there is a government funding required. Possibly, we can look at a collaborative development. I will talk about it in the future, how we can develop a collaborative with a future rocket, which is our vision. So this is the global goal. But I want to tell you that the payload capability drastically increasing is not really called for. See, we have reached a certain level, something like 5 tons to GTO. And we would like to remain somewhere near to that, 4 to 6 tons. And never talk about 25 ton, 30 ton, which is not business-wise or economy-wise, not seem to be very attractive. As on today, it may change tomorrow. But as on today, my assessment says that it is worth to work on this type of payloads. So a medium to heavy rocket. But what is important is to work on a reusable, recoverable rocket so that the cost per kilogram of launching them to space becomes substantially lower. Hence, more satellites will come. Hence, the overall economy of the process of rocket launching and satellite building will get improved. That's what is shown by models elsewhere. So this is the essence of what is about rockets. Now, in this rocket area, space transportation system area, one of the important things that we need to recognize ourselves is that this is a capability that India has got after so much of trials and tribulations. It's not easy for a nation to have a capability to have rocket technology on their own, to launch it successfully again and again. So this is something that will not come so easily to us. So whatever we do in this sector, we must make sure the knowledge and skill of the people in this domain are preserved, nurtured, and taken forward. So this is one of the goals of the Department of Space to ensure this. So the vision will contain a sustainable and independent, competitive, reliable access to space. This country needs to have access to space. If you want to launch something to space, it must be possible by India from our soil. So this capability must be preserved. But at the same time, there are issues of strategic nature and commercial nature. That when you talk about preserving that access, it may also come with a cost. But if you talk about profitability and cost effectiveness, it may come at a different context. Like bringing a better launch vehicle to India and then launch at an affordable rate. It may be the second option will become possible. So it's a question of the current rockets. We have PSLV, GSLV, and GSLV market. What do we do with that? Should we retire them and then develop a new rocket which will be more cost effective? This dialogue is currently going on within us. And possibly in another few months or so, we will come out with a very clear plan. Which are the rockets that we need to retire so that the new people, new designs, new concepts can take on and then make it more commercially viable. Definitely, I'm not going into the finer aspect of it, which is the right one to retire, except I have written there for need of the time and resources, which I would like to want to discuss that in great detail. But what I want to tell you, because there are a lot of industry leaders, people who make decisions, people who have an influence in decision making, sitting here, I would like to tell you that in the future, the rocket that India makes in the near future should not be made by ISRO alone. I want this rocket to be made by the community who is there, the industries, the people who can contribute in research and development, and maybe investors coming forward to create a new rocket for this country. The last rocket that ISRO made is GSLV Madri, and I happened to be the project director who had the opportunity to launch its first mission. But then in future, I believe that the project will be a public-private partnership company who will build this rocket in this country. It will develop the engine, it will build the rocket, and launch and own by them in a commercial way to operate. And ISRO will be there to provide the technology support, the knowledge which they have created into it, and remain as a design authority or a configuration authority to help them to continue this. But the whole thing can be created in an industrial ecosystem, which will make it more profitable, which will make it more like a business opportunity as a loan services, not for India alone, but for the globe. But we have a structure of it. What should be the rocket? We have some idea. But the idea of ISRO need not be imposed on this new consortia, but it should be created by them by their own business models.
So this is something which I propose
that we should own a rocket in the public-private domain. See, the importance of strategic requirement in space technology cannot be ignored. In the coming days, space is going to be one of the important driver, decision maker with regard to the security of the nation. So this, we don't want to speak quite high about it right now. The point is that it has to be done as a strong nation emerging. We need to keep our work in this domain not to be very low. It involves a lot of things. It involves having access to space when you really need it, without to wait for it. We should have an ability to put spacecrafts of different nature in orbit. We must also have surveillance capability of various kinds in orbit. So various technologies which are required to support it has to be done from space sector, with other agencies also doing their part. It is an important role that we need to play from this. And we have projects and plans which will support this to happen. Finally, on the delivery side, what you actually deliver to people is very, very important. And ISRO has never been an agency who worked in closed quarters or within glass windows. It always went to the public, went to the government, went to departments, institutions, and then told them, we have a system available, we have some applications available. We wanted to connect to them and then deliver some products to them. We may be successful in some area, may not be successful in many area. And many of you are aware of those services. I am not going to that. Today, we are the only communication service provider from space. And we develop and support so much of information in terms of imaging through various platforms we deliver, which involves flood mapping, then disaster warning, earth resources mapping, agriculture support, even tsunami warning. There are areas of remote sensing, SATCOM and navigation connected today to do various supports. Today, one of the interesting work we did recently is about Aadhaar enrollment connected to NAVIC. So that nobody outside the boundary of the country can register an Aadhaar using a fake connection, because it can need to be connected to the NAVIC location services. So such ideas have to be created, and then we need to find a business opportunity out of this. There is a huge amount of business opportunity in this. Only for those who can imagine new things, there is a possibility. So this is something that we would like to concentrate in the coming days. Now, final slide is only on the space strategy and economy, which will evolve if you do all of this. See, the current global market share in space is $447 billion, in which our share, ISRO, Government of India, or the nation, is only 2% in terms of launch vehicle, satellites, or applications. So it's a very small number, but not an insignificant number. But we see that there are a lot of studies being done world over on space economy, how it is going to evolve in the coming days. And the study is done by various, though it is not very clear there, is that it is going to grow to something like $1.5 trillion economy by 2047. This I have put it 2047, I prepared because I didn't want to change it 2030, because the number was already there. 2047 is 100th year of our independence. So I just took that data. So by that time, when you have a space economy of that nature, where India should be? And what should be our contribution on this in the coming days? This is a projected number, hypothetical number. It can be anything, depending upon what work we do today. So, what are the possibilities if you really want to increase the share of India in the global space economy in the coming days? One is, ISRO as a national space agency will act as a technology developer, and industry should be the lead agency. See, if you look at the global space actors, the industry has been all the time very independent, strong in the aerospace sector. Look at the US, Europe, or the Russia. They have been leading the technology growth, and the National Space Agency only defined or contracted what they have to do. But that's not the case in India. The case in India in space sector has been that engineering, the conceptualization has to happen within the National Space Agency. We have to find out and nurture industry to take up some tasks which we wanted to do, develop with them, and then build the systems on a model which is quite different from what is done in the West. But this model has to change. If the model has to change, then industry need to be there to do the such things. So this is something we have to make a change in this country. Today it has happened in various sectors. It has happened in IT sector, computer sector, software sector. You don't have to go anywhere. India has the capability, biotechnology sector. So, why don't we really have such a transformation happening in the coming days?
Yeah, and India should become a global space manufacturing hub.
If, how is it possible, really? Can engines be manufactured in this country? Do you have enough resources like the materials, alloying and materials, manufacturing capability, assembly capability? And there is no doubt that we have that capability.
Can you really make a satellite bulk production in this country for people who wanted to build?
It must be possible.
And similarly, the foreign launch vehicle building, can it happen in this country and then use it for launch elsewhere? Or from this country itself?
Private space missions, like a tourism, can it really happen in this country?
I believe it is possible. Because we are working on Gaganyaan, there is a pro module going up, it is going to land with the parachute.
Why not somebody take it and put on the rocket and then off up, going to 100 kilometers and coming back as a tourism opportunity in this country? If some industry is willing to do it, we are ready to help them through that.
So similarly, the Indian non-governmental entities should become solution providers to the national requirements, to like the state governments, etc. So we hope that private satellites will come, space application industry will develop, private launch vehicles will be there in operation, and private space parks will be really there. So if that is going to happen, then India will have a... And more importantly, India continues to remain as a space agency limited to within India. This also has to change.
See, in the global power equations, I think it's very important to create a regional alliance in space system. It's not to be limited within this country. We have to catch all the people who are still, you know, just trying to develop space economy, space ecosystem. Maybe in many countries, many continents, in Africa, Latin America, Southeast Asia, even the Eastern blocs. Now, where there's a possibility, we need to create tie-ups. We have to create space ecosystem in this country so that our industries can go there and support them, so that there is a business created.
So through these processes only, we can really grow the space ecosystem in this country. And for that, we are creating a policy framework now.
One of the important tools for this is to define what you can do, what we cannot do. So the space policy currently has already gone through some level of discussions. And the last month I had an opportunity to review the whole thing. And then now we have seen a very good single space policy which will bring in all the remote sensing data policy, the communication policy, the launch vehicle building and operating policy, the FDA policy, the technology transfer policy. Now all this coming into a single policy which will be announced soon. We'll also have a national space law which will be enacted for private entrepreneurs to build and launch systems in this country. So these are going to happen. I believe with this type of actions, really the change which is required for 2030 and beyond will really happen in this country. Let me thank you for allowing me to give this presentation to such an audience here. Definitely your thoughts and views will really strengthen our hands to take this forward. Thank you so much.